from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Tuesday, Royals fans. We're going streaking. Royals, red hot at the right time, doing what they need to do. We'll get into it. Jacob Albrecht here, Tommy Kester. Alongside me, Jad Chambers, back in studio. He's manning that IHOP hotline for you, which is brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring you back all-you-can-eat pancakes through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. That's just one way to get in touch with the program. Easiest way if you're listening to us on KFH right now. You can also listen to us on the Odyssey app. You can listen anytime, by the way. If you miss any part of the show, you can do that. It's downloadable. It's basically a podcast for you. Jad does that. And we love having that capability. You can also watch us on 12 News Connected. We're excited about that. I'll get you a little inside announcement on that in just a second. But you can also watch us on X, YouTube, Facebook. You can leave us video comments that we can take up on the screen. Speaking of 12 News Connected, this weekend, you will see us on KWCH over the air as a part of the preseason football broadcast. We're going to put an hour of the show out on the air. We're really excited about that. So Friday, if you miss us, we'll put that in there. Be some cool crossover opportunities. So that'll come this weekend. We'll get you some more details as we get closer to it, times and things that you can watch us on the big screen. Pretty crazy. Show note today, Dan Israel was supposed to join us for the first time this year. He will not be able to do that. A little bit of a medical situation. Dan doesn't miss games. We hope he's back for Thursday's final preseason game, but we'll get Dan in next week. Our thoughts go out to Dan and get him a speedy recovery. So no Dan Israel today, but that's okay. We'll still take a look ahead a little bit to the Chiefs' final game. We got into it some yesterday with the wide receivers. I want to go back to that. It's about the most interesting thing left in the preseason, what the Chiefs do at wide receiver. So we'll do that a little bit today as well. Take you around the sports world. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm good. Good to be here today. There's a lot, of course, to get into as we get ready for the final Chiefs preseason game. Of course, as you mentioned, the Royals continue to stay hot, and so I'm looking forward to diving right in.
So if you see me panicking, if you're watching the video stream, so I'm in here, and I come in, and like there's this really high-pitched like squeal. Okay, so imagine, like, almost sounds like, you know, the sound like a circle saw makes, like a metal circle saw right before it goes down to cut, like that. And that's going off, and I'm like, is that my computer? Please tell me that's not my computer. I can't afford another computer. And I'm looking around, I'm like, what is going on here? It's the light fixture above me. Like, it sounded like something was about ready to explode, and I go to take that light out, and I mean, it is hot on fire. And I'm like, what is this? So hopefully my house doesn't burn down while we're live on the air here. But that was that I was just doing that right before we got on the air here.
It's funny how, like, you know, behind the scenes, and I know we've talked about it before, but usually that hour to hour and a half before our show starts, at least for me, is usually frantic. And I know it's frantic for you too. Like, so many different things going on. We're getting ready for the show. But then we've also got other things. Like, today was our son's first day of preschool. And so he's off to preschool for the first time. So we had to do pictures. And then I picked up donuts for the first day of preschool. Of course, it's pouring down rain as we're dropping him off. So just a lot going on this morning. And I'm glad we both made it here on time. I'm glad that your light didn't explode. I'm glad that we were able to get our son off to preschool. A lot going on behind the scenes.
We had our first day on the bus. So our son started kindergarten yesterday. And his sisters were excited. They're all in the same school for the first time, which is just... I don't know. Like, yesterday was weird in commercial breaks. I'm going out and I'm not, like, you know, he's not telling me some crazy story because he hangs with me. Like, he and all the kids have been this summer, but for the last 3 years, 2 years, he's here. Like, he's here. When you see him every once in a while, he'll kind of mosey in and so now he's gone. And like during these commercial breaks, I'm like, well, now what do I do? Like, I can't, like, I go out and I'm like ready to check on him and he's not there, but he had his first bus day today. So we kind of had the same thing. But Michelle, my wife, is at work. She's like, you better take pictures. I'm like, okay, that's the last thing I'm thinking. Okay, take pictures. And then it's raining and we're, you know, it's.
My wife just texted me a few minutes ago and, you know, and this is, you know, he's our oldest. So this is our first experience and sending a kid off to school and that sort of thing. We've never been in this world before. And so, you know, she and my wife is a planner and organized and wants to make sure that everything is all lined out. And so, you know, there's a car line at this preschool. You get in the line, you drop the kids off. You don't get out of the car. The teachers help the kids out, whatever.
Oh, no, no.
And, you know, so my wife was very much like, I hope it all goes okay. And I hope that our son is good and, you know, no issues. Apparently, so she texted me and just said that, you know, he basically was like, okay, mommy, you can leave now. Like, time for you to drive away. Like, I'm good, you know. And she was like, oh, I certainly didn't expect that to happen. Like, I thought maybe he'd be a little bit more like, no, don't go. But he was ready for her to leave.
Yeah, don't, you know, don't take that stuff for granted because, my wife's a hot mess. Sending her last one off to kindergarten. It goes quick, as everybody always tells you, and then it's there and it's done, and you're like, holy crap, that went quick. They weren't lying. But anyway, we move on here as we're maybe a little sentimental and frantic. The Royals get another win last night. They do exactly what they need to do. And it was, in a lot of ways, I thought it was a really quality win. You had a game where Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, don't provide a ton offensively, a little bit, but not a ton. Salvador Perez was the big provider of the offense in this one. So that was good to see them still generate five runs without, you know, power essentially coming from Bobby Witt Jr. or Vinny Pasquantino, I thought. Seth Lugo, of course, gave you a really solid start, 8 strikeouts, 7 innings. He had that sort of bounce back we wanted to see out of him. Bubich was fine. He gave up the home run on the first pitch. I didn't think it was a bad pitch, so I think he continues to look pretty sharp. And then they get Schreiber back. And I had forgotten, honestly, like, I'll be totally honest, I forgot all about John Schreiber. Like, totally slipped my mind that he was still a part of this. And it was interesting. They put him in the Sayz situation. I don't think you need to read anything into that. Urcic had pitched multiple innings the night before, but it was nice to see him get in there. You know, he's not lights out stuff, Tommy, but he's handy, certainly, and has been most of the year. So that was good to see. But all around, it was a good win, and it keeps the win streak going when they got to have it.
Yeah, it was really good. And I think that, you know, there's some credit that needs to be given to Paul DeJong. And he has been,
he's been good
since he was acquired by the Royals. It's a wonder what it'll do to go from the worst team in Major League Baseball to a team making a playoff push. And that's what happened with DeYoung. He was traded from the White Sox to the Royals, and he's been really good. He had a two-run home run last night, and he's added pop in the lineup that they had been lacking. Let's just be real about that. They needed another bat in the lineup, and I know that at the trade deadline, the conventional wisdom was they need a leadoff hitter, but they also need an outfielder. And Paul DeYoung isn't either one of those. He's not a leadoff hitter, really, and he's definitely not an outfielder. But he's been able to come in with that acquisition and provide a spark at times with the offense. And he's done this in a handful of games since he's come over to Kansas City, where he's been the key guy offensively. And I know that Salvador Perez added three RBIs in the game, but it was DeYoung's two-run homer that really put the Royals over the top last night. So he's been good, and he's been somebody outside of that middle of the lineup that is highly touted and highly acclaimed. I don't know if pitchers are really giving the rest of the Royals lineup as much credit as they should be or as much respect as they should be, because they're so focused, as they should be, on Witt, Perez, and Pasquantino. But it's guys like Paul DeYoung that last night came up big.
The other thing about DeYoung is his power has been there, right? He hadn't hit for a ton of average, hadn't done it, but his power has been on display all year. He was traded with, 19 home runs when they got him?
But so, his batting average was down in the 220s, yeah, I think, when he got traded.
Mm-hmm. It was not good, but he's going to give them help, certainly. It's just been really, really fun to watch everybody pick it up a little bit. I mean, the Royals right now have the second best run differential in the American League, and they're winning while everyone else is losing. As we talked about this stretch and just how brutal it is, this is going as well as you could hope. All the contenders are losing games. The Royals, don't look now, are tied with the Twins. They are 4.5 games clear of Boston, 6.5 of Seattle. They're chasing down Baltimore / the Yankees now for the top wild card spot and in the division against Cleveland. So, and again, is that going to hold true when they get to this next part of the schedule, which is probably the most difficult remaining for any team in Major League Baseball? The season as a whole tells us no, probably not. But at least it gives you the hope that they can, because if they're on, they can beat anybody. We know that. If they can go 500 over that stretch, I don't know what everyone else is going to do. But if they can get through that stretch and go 500, they'll be fine. They'll be in the postseason, especially with this path that's being created. And they get an opportunity two more times to go just a little bit further in that path.
They built themselves a cushion. And I think in the next day or two, with the two remaining games in this series with the Angels, with the way that they're playing right now, I don't have any doubt in my mind that they'll continue to pad that cushion a little bit more. And that's what you need when you're going into a stretch of baseball games like what the Royals are going to have the next 20 after they finish this Angels series. They need to have that cushion. They're 15 games over 500, and it was back before the All-Star break that they were 14, 15 games over 500. And there was a little bit of a stretch where it was like, okay, I don't really know what this is going to look like for the Royals. That, really even after, they finished out that Minnesota series, or even before the finale, before they started this 5-game winning streak, I mean, they were, 10 games over 500 at that point? And so I think the most crucial thing about this, and with the cushion that they're building, and you mentioned this, they're now battling with a couple of other teams for the top wild card spot and the division. So now it's again like a game of poker. You've got multiple outs, right? That's correct. What you look for in a game of poker with, the hand that you're playing is, what kind of outs do I have? And for the Royals, for the longest time, it was the last wild card spot. That was it. That was their out. It was with the way that Cleveland was playing, with the way that Minnesota was coming on, the other teams in the American League wild card race, it was really the last wild card spot or bust for Kansas City. Now you've got multiple other opportunities to make it into the playoffs. And that's, I don't think that can be understated, because that, not that it takes the pressure off, because a late season collapse, nobody wants that. But at the same time, you can play a little bit more freely because you know that you don't have to just get this one wild card spot. You're battling for the top wild card spot. There are three available for you to snag. Plus, oh, by the way, you're only 2.5 games back of the Guardians in the division. So it's a good position for the Royals to be in. I'd like to see that cushion be padded as much as possible by the time you get through this Angels series on Wednesday so they can start this really difficult stretch in a really good position.
And a couple other things on the schedule. It is 20. After you get through it, though, it's Pittsburgh, it's Detroit, it's San Francisco, it's Washington, and then you end with Atlanta. It does soften before the end of the season, right? But it is brutal here. 7 games against Cleveland in that stretch. That's a team they can pass or compete with. 3 against Minnesota. Now all of a sudden 3 in New York becomes more of a, oh man, that'll be tough. And like they could run them down, right? And then Houston and Philadelphia are the other two mixed in there. By the way, both of the Houston series is 4 on the road.
And Houston's the hottest team in baseball right now.
Hottest team in baseball.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge for sure.
And you know, those are the series that you fear a little bit and that you just want to have pad for. And that's what they're building right now. And they're doing they're doing exactly what they need to do. Are we screaming from the rooftops in joy and excitement that they were able to beat Cincinnati and the Angels? I mean, yes, because you don't make it probably if you don't do those things. And they're doing what they have to do to get into the postseason. And so, great. Do it again. You know, you've got this series lines up and you're going to have to play Philadelphia, you know, without Reagans. Okay. And Reagans get the win tonight. And then you follow it up with the finale. It's great to see. And it's great to see the way they're doing it too. Like, that's what I mean about last night. Like it has felt like for a little while, it's been like all Bobby Witt, all Pasquantino. It was a little more spread out. It's nice to see them be able to win when those guys don't give you much offensively. I think that builds confidence a little bit, as good as the middle of the lineup has been, to be able to do that, to know that it doesn't have to just be those guys. And look, run differential right now in Major League Baseball, Tommy, the Royals have the second best run differential in baseball. And that is a big time indicator of how good a team is. Yet the metrics, at least these, you know, CBS metrics and other places, still are giving the Royals not a great chance. At least they're, you know, they're above 50% now. But I look at it, I don't know if it has to do with that schedule. I don't know if these metrics can't let go of preseason expectations. But I look at CBS Sports right now, and they have their projected win total by the analytics stuff they use at 86. 86 wins. They've got 70 right now. I mean, it would have to be an epic collapse.
I mean, they're still projecting. I mean, at that point, they're projecting a sub 500 record the rest of the way. And I know that the next 20 games are difficult for the Royals, but I don't see them finishing the season, you know, with only 16 wins in their remaining games.
It'd be like 16-22 or something.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay.
I mean, if they finished at 500, you know, then you would have 90 plus wins on the season. And it goes back to what we talked about a little bit yesterday, that there's not a dominant team in Major League Baseball. The team that's pacing, you know, the best right now, you know, is probably the Yankees or the Phillies, maybe one of those
the
two
Dodgers,
teams.
Dodgers, maybe 584.
But even then, the Dodgers right now. But even then, I mean, you're looking at a 95 win team.
They're four games better than the Royals.
Four games better than the Royals. And so you've got a bunch of teams that are going to be around that 90 win mark. So I think that, those analytics that you're looking at, and I've seen some of them too. I saw, I think it was an ESPN projection that had the Royals at like 75% chance to make the playoffs.
Oh, that's a little better.
Which is better, but I still thought it would be higher than that, or it should be higher than that. So again, I don't know what all, you know, that takes into account. I think another important thing to mention, you know, down the stretch, Seth Lugo didn't have a great game last night. He was okay. You know, he was fine. He walked too many batters.
He did.
You know, he pitched 7 innings, so he gave you 7 innings, and that was, I think, important, you know, for the bullpen. But he walked too many. He did strike out 8, gave up 2 earned runs, only 4 hits over those 7 innings. But going into the game last night, since the All-Star break, Lugo had been 2-3 with a 5.23 ERA. You know, and it was that kind of that drop off that I was at least concerned about. Really, it was kind of that start right before the All-Star break against the Red Sox when he kind of got lit up. It cost him the chance to start for the American League in the All-Star game. And he pitched that game, and I'm like, uh-oh. Like, are we starting to see a little bit of a comeback down to earth for Seth Lugo? And it really, you know, outside of a couple of starts since the All-Star break, hadn't been great for Lugo. Last night wasn't amazing, but he got through it. He pitched 7 innings. I don't think that we're going to see probably Lugo pitch at the clip that we saw earlier in the season, but they've got, I think, now enough depth, and at least in the bullpen, they've got reinforcements where I don't know if you necessarily need Seth Lugo to be Superman the remaining starts that he has. Reagans has come on strong. Tonight, he'll be going for his 6th win in 7 games. Brady Singer has looked pretty good as of late. Of course, Michael Wach is there. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think that Lugo has to fill that role that we saw him fill early in the season.
He definitely doesn't. None of the starters do yet. I completely agree. Let's take a break. And I agree with you. I want to talk about the starting rotation because I think it's such a different scenario for them now than it was early in the season. Ken's got a couple of comments. We'll get to those as well. We'll continue the Royals conversation here as we open Sports Daily on this Tuesday. It's a win streak. Things are looking good. It's baseball. We got this 3 weeks till we start the NFL. Let's go. Let's go. Royals, you'll hear them tonight, by the way, right here on KFH as well. Don't go away. We'll come back. We've got all kinds of stuff for you today. We're going to give away a prize. You've got lots of opportunities to win. By the way, mornings at KFH, staff enjoys some great coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Always appreciate them keeping us fueled up here at the Odyssey family. Let's take that break. We'll come back. More Royals talk when we return on Sports Daily. This baseball coverage on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jake Balbrock, Tommy Caster here. We're talking Royals. We're talking baseball. A couple of video comments. Rick says FanGraphs has the Royals at a 79% chance to make the playoffs. Tommy, you pointed out another one. So maybe they are coming around in some places, but I do still see them not in good shape. I checked their odds to make the playoffs. Vegas has them at minus 300, so Vegas certainly likes their chances. Ken brings up a Royals point on Bobby Witt Jr., Aaron Judge tied in WAR. I think one thing we've learned on that, Ken, is there are a lot of different places that have different numbers on the WAR. We talked about a while ago, what would it take for Bobby Witt Jr.? It'll take that and the Royals to make the playoffs. If the Royals make the playoffs, if Aaron Judge doesn't somehow set some sort of home run record or something crazy like that, I think Bobby Witt Jr. is the leader in the clubhouse. As long as the Royals reach the postseason and he just continues his pace, I think he'll get it. We saw another dazzling defensive play last night. We know those things. When the only flaw that people can find in your game is you get picked off too much, I think you're doing okay in the MVP race. So we'll see if he's able to hold it through. You brought up a good point before the break, Tommy, with the starting rotation and Seth Lugo not needing to do what he did early. And I do think he looked much sharper last night. I thought his stuff looked better. The walks are too many against the Angels for sure. I don't think they need any of these guys to be that guy necessarily, Tommy. They don't need the starting rotation to carry them the way that it did through a portion. I do think the bullpen is stronger post-trade deadline. I do think the lineup is much better than it was at one point, much more dynamic, much more complex. But the other thing is they're all sort of pitching in. And so we've seen Reagans sort of step up to that role his last two times out to stop losing streaks, basically. But that's where they'll need, like, if Lugo is presented with that same scenario where they really need a stopper or Waka, or that's where, like, you they've got to be able to step up and do that. And then it becomes about the postseason. And honestly, I think it's pretty clear how that would go. It would probably go Reagans, Lugo, Waka, Singer, I think. based on what we've seen. But they've got, again, like that's what potentially makes them so dangerous in the postseason. It won't really matter what order they go in. And it doesn't really matter what order they go in now. They're all, to me, all four of them. I think Reagan's, you could put a tier ahead based on his last couple of starts, but they're all four kind of interchangeable in the sense that any four of them can shut the opposition down, right? Like they don't have to, like it felt like they did earlier this year.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the run differential before the break and how it's the second best in Major League Baseball. Over the five-game span that the Royals have been on this streak, they've outscored their opponents 37-7. And, you know, it's a plus 30 run differential in the last five games. On average, they're outscoring their opponents by 6 runs in the last five games. That 37 from the bats is impressive, don't get me wrong. But what's even more impressive is the 7 runs
sure.
that the pitching staff has given up in the last five games. Now, part of that, yes, the bullpen for sure.
Playing crappy teams.
But from a starting pitching perspective, the starters have done what you've needed them to do the last turn through the rotation. And so there's not a whole lot more that I think you can ask out of the rotation as we move forward. I know that Lugo is giving up more runs than what we're comfortable with. I know that he's walking more batters than he did earlier in the season, the ERA, the whip, all higher than when he was basically dominant in the first half of the season. But Cole Reagans, I want to mention him because as Lugo has sort of cooled off a little bit, Reagans has really heated up. And so that's been, I think, something that we can take a look at and hang our hats on. Because we've expected Cole Reagans to be the ace of the rotation. I don't think that anybody expected Seth Lugo to be the ace of the rotation at the very beginning of the year. But Lugo filled in that role when Reagans was kind of up and down. And, you know, to Reagans' defense, he didn't get a ton of run support early in the season.
Right.
So that didn't help his win-loss record. But he has gotten that run support as of late. His ERA continues to fall, while Lugo is, again, kind of cooling off. And I think fatigue is a part of that. You know, Lugo is pitching more innings than he ever has in his career, you know, down the stretch, where Reagans is younger. His arm is probably a little bit fresher. And so I think that, you know, that's definitely crucial for Kansas City that, you know, again, Lugo kind of can have that pressure taken off of his shoulders a little bit. Reagans, you know, with a couple more really solid and quality outings, could very easily get his ERA under 3. And, you know, so knowing that you've got him in your back pocket as your number 2 in the rotation should certainly make the Royals feel a whole lot better. But they've got the depth now in the rotation that they maybe didn't have at the beginning of the year. Now that you've got Lorenzen in the rotation, that can certainly help things out. And if they need to get into a position, especially, you know, in the 20-game stretch that they'll be playing against the really tough opponents, you don't necessarily, I don't think, have to run your rotation the way that you typically do. If a starter needs a day off or if you need to push back a start, make some changes, they've got the personnel, I think, to be able to do so.
And you saw Lugo push through yesterday, probably because they needed some rest in the bullpen for some players. I mean, the thing for me with Reagans is it's a lot of like demeanor and attitude almost. He hasn't been like lights out in these games that he is, you know, winning lately. Now it's kind of a bend but don't break, right? So he after the All-Star game, he's got a bunch of good starts. But in those starts, like he's had traffic and he's had quite a bit of traffic, quite frankly, but he gets through it. And his attitude is what I think sets him up and why you like him in the postseason. He just doesn't, like, whatever that MacGyver thing is where you just don't let one get away from you, he just doesn't ever seem to let one get away from him. You go back to late June against the Guardians, he had a bad start. He had a bad start in late June against the Guardians. And then after that, you got to go all the way back to May 11th. Don't listen to this. Maybe close your ears on this. The Angels rocked him. And probably his worst start of the year. But like when you go back and you look, and basically since April 25th, you've only got two dud starts, that's pretty good, right? That you'll live with that. There's two of them that you could just sort of throw in the trash can. He wasn't great against the Cubs, but he wasn't terrible. So that's where he has been. Like, Lugo has been more dominant in his good games, I think, than Reagan's. But Reagan's is developing this consistency to just sort of work through it and power through it. And that's important. And it's interesting to see that out of a guy that's so young that is also, I mean, that's the other thing. Every pitcher in the rotation right now is in uncharted territory, except for Lorenzen. And Waka. Waka's been there over the course of his career, I guess, to be fair, just not lately. But you're looking at innings caps for the three quote-unquote aces. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't think they know how their body's going to hold up, but I think we're seeing Reagan's really, you just sort of attitude-wise power through. They'll be fine. They just can't all collapse at once. They need one of them to step up and sort of pick up the others. The other thing that will help tremendously, of course, is if the offense just keeps it up a little bit. The bullpen would certainly help you. So if a starter does, and this is where the pressure that I mentioned right off the top of this segment, like the pressure feels so much less to me for them to be great than it did for two reasons. Your lineup is far more potent than it was, and your bullpen's way better. I mean, don't you think the bullpen is like way better right now? We went through a large portion of the season, and it's like they don't have anybody to throw out there at this point. Now, you feel good about Ursig. I feel real good about Bubich still. So that's two. Okay, we'll see what Schreiber can give them as he comes back. And then maybe Harvey comes back. You went from zero to potentially three or four. I mean, that's a big difference at the end of games if your starting pitching takes a step back. And it was never reasonable to expect that starting pitching to keep the pace they were on at the beginning of the season. That was ridiculous. That was never going to happen. So it's all leveling out. This is all a part of what it takes to in a season to get to the postseason. And we need them to win these next two against the Angels because we're probably not going to be so joyous and pleasant for a couple of weeks after that.
Well, and I certainly think that it does, to an extent, take the monkey off Matt Quatrero's back. You know, when you actually know that there are some quality pitchers in your bullpen that you can go to. Because before that, Quatrero kind of had a little bit of a quandary each time. It was, do I continue to just lean heavily on these starters and work them right to death? Or do I go to somebody that in the bullpen, you know, has good stuff, you know, and but maybe, you know, is not going to always be consistent and you're not going to be able to trust them. And so now that he's got a couple of go-to guys in the bullpen, that certainly should help make the in-game adjustments and decision-making that much easier and that much better for Matt Quatrero. I think that it comes down to, in the bullpen, it comes down to exactly how does it all line out. I think we know that Lucas Ursig, for the most part, will be the ninth inning guy. Although I know, obviously, last night he'd worked a bunch of innings, and so that wasn't the case. But he's the ninth inning guy. I know that they've tried and they continue to try Sam Long to get him right and get him going. I'm just not sure that he's going to be a late innings guy for you. I don't think he is anytime soon or at all. So at that point, you mentioned Bubich, but you know Harvey's injured. Can Schreiber fill that role? Do they feel comfortable with him? Can MacArthur figure out where his stuff is to where he doesn't have to be the guy, but he can be one of the guys because that might help him in his outings if he doesn't have that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
No pressure on his shoulders either.
The Bubich-Ursig dynamic is interesting because both of those guys are fully capable and do pitch multiple innings frequently. It's not going to look traditional. I don't think there is a path to a clear-cut, 2014-15 Royals shut you down after the sixth inning kind of bullpen where you know who's coming in each time. I don't think that's going to happen. So if that's not going to happen, then you just kind of need a collection of guys. I think they would like to let Ursig finish off games. The problem is each time, and we've seen this, you get into these jams and it's like, well, who do we go to here? You got to go to Ursig, stop the bleeding, right? And I have wondered for decades, Tommy, why bullpens don't work that way. I've always, following the 14-15 Royals, following the 2010-11 Rangers, changed my tone on that because I do think if you have it, there is some advantage psychologically to handing innings off to guys. I mean, look at the Yankees dynasty. We saw that then too, right? But I also think, why wouldn't you just throw your best guy in the toughest situation? And that's what the Royals are doing with Ursig, and I love it for Ursig, right? Sorry, man, you're going to inherit every late inning mess we've got the rest of the way. Good luck. Do your best. And he just seems to thrive in it. And his stuff certainly plays. He's just electric right now. But the Royals go tonight. We'll get you more on that game. We'll look at the bets and all that in the second hour as we go through it. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll reopen the question we got into yesterday a little bit. I talked to more people about this just because I'm so curious about it. We were kicking it around the office a little bit. I don't know, Tommy. I'm getting the impression you might be in the minority with what will happen with Kadarius Toney. I'm not saying your opinion of what should happen. I hear and am seeing more people think he's still going to make it. Not that he should or shouldn't. That's not what I mean. I just think it's going to be like a photo finish on this decision. I don't think they know yet. We'll come back. We'll talk about it as we make our way through. Chiefs talk next on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
And 1240 KFH.
Busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Jad Chambers producing for us. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Go check out the club. Go check out the restaurant. Good food. Weekly chef specials. They just sent an email about it. What do we got here? Let me just look. And this is just because this popped in. It's a Mexican street corn flatbread and baked cod with puttanesca sauce, wild rice and grilled asparagus. But Tommy, how do you do with the fine dining? I thoroughly embarrass my wife with the fine dining, and it's almost become a game that I like to play. A lot of it is real, though. I've never seen do you know what puttanesca sauce is?
I just want to hear you keep saying puttanesca.
Puttanesca?
I don't know. Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea. I've never heard of it. Let's look up what puttanesca sauce is. So I do this to my wife when we go places, and partly it's real and partly because I know it really bothers her. It's tomatoes, olives, capers, anchovies, garlic, pepperoncino. No, it's one. I don't know.
Is it pepperoncini?
No, it's not a peppercini, like a pepper, unless I've always been saying that or spelling that wrong. So I have no idea what that is. It's got olives, so I'm out. Like, olives are the one food that I will eat or try and can do literally just about anything. Cannot do olives.
Any kind of olive? Like black olive, green olive?
Nope. I can't get it down. If I'm at a restaurant and they literally bring me the wrong food, I'll just eat it and not say anything. I won't send stuff back unless it's like going to harm me. Unless there's olives. Like, if there's olives, I'll try and like pick them out, but like it will totally ruin the whole experience.
What do you do if you get like a supreme pizza that has black olives on it? You pick the olives off?
I can flick those off. Yeah, I can flick them off. I still don't like that it leaves that little bit of an aftertaste, but that's okay. Like, those flick off and are okay. Like, when I first started dating my wife, we went to an Asian food place and they brought me the wrong dish. And I was like, okay. But like, we had just kind of first started dating. I'm like, no big deal. Like, and I would never want that confrontation anyway. And so it was one of the hottest things I've ever eaten in my life. Like, dripping sweat. She's just kind of looking at me. And I finally told her, I'm like, they brought me the wrong thing. I don't know what this is, but it's really, really hot. But not olives. So I would be out on that. But, you know, all kinds of different stuff there. But I do. Like, I will now intentionally, when there are situations like that, go straight up hillbilly. Excuse me, ma'am, what's puttanesca sauce? Like, what is that? And just like point to it on the menu right in front of her. And she just like, she can't handle it.
You're probably that same guy that you go to a Mexican restaurant and you're, you know, ordering the quesadilla. Can I get one quesadillas?
I'm from Texas. So we got Mexican food. So it's good. But like Italian food or fine dining, I don't know what a lot of stuff is. And I have to ask her and she gets so annoyed with me every time. Like, you don't know what that is. Like, come on. And I'm like, no, I've never heard of it. I've never seen it. I don't know what it is. I've never heard of it.
I like fine dining. I can get into that every once in a while. Like, it's not a all the time thing. I know people that, you know, like they want to go to, you know, whatever steakhouse or whatever fine dining restaurant all the time. I'm good. Like, on a special occasion, like, get me a high end steak. You know, I'll be a fan of that for sure.
I like it, and I'm pretty adventurous as an eater, so I'll try anything. I just don't know what it is, and I very often just say, "What's your favorite thing?" I'll take that, like, to the waitress or waiter, and like whatever you think. But I don't know what I'm getting a lot of the time. But baked cod sounds pretty good, actually. That's over at Crestview. Give them a call, tell them we sent you. We will get you some cheat. We'll get into the Chiefs. I knew we weren't going to have enough time here to get into this. And I just scrolled through, and we'll sort of set this up. So we spent a lot of time yesterday on the wide receiver decision. Like, what do the Chiefs do? I don't have a strong take on what they'll do. I could easily make the case for Kadarius Toney staying or going. Tommy's pretty adamant that he thinks they will cut him. I just did a quick like Google News search, and I'm telling you, like, everybody's writing about it and everybody has a different take on it. Most people think he should be gone. But will he be gone? That's where you get mixed reviews. And that's sort of where I am with it. Like, should he be gone by this point? Yes. Will he be? I don't know. And that's the decision. So we'll get to that. We have some audio from Mitch Holthus about Xavier Worthy getting some reps. He is really opening eyes. So we'll have all that coming for you. And that'll be how we start off the next hour. But, you know, as we get ready to go into a final preseason game, Andy Reid talked a lot yesterday about roster decisions. And this is, you know, this is a fun game to watch. I kind of like the third and final preseason games because it is guys getting an opportunity to play for their jobs. And you never know when these players are going to step up into a bigger role. You hope that they don't, right? Because that would almost certainly mean somebody got hurt, but they're going to be there. And maybe that's where things are with Toney. Like, this is it, dude. Like, this is your last chance with us to do something. It is as interesting. I'm trying to think back, Tommy, to all the roster cut, like, this week of the season. And like, I know that we pay way too much attention to that most of the time. I don't know that we've ever had one like Kadarius Toney, where it's like almost like a hot button issue with what to do with him. I can tell it gets you fired up. I don't care one way or the other. We're all over the place with this one. So we'll talk about that. We'll get some of that audio from Mitch Holthus as well in the next hour. Chiefs talk as we start things up in hour number two. We'll have a giveaway for you as well in that hour. Don't go away. One in the books, one to go here. It's Sports Daily on a Tuesday.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.